It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 609. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow and also /MikeNationNet. Great show lined up with just two emails that my answers will take up the entire show. One is how to transition to a self-employed IT business owner. The second one is a procedure for clean install of Windows 7 or Windows 10. I'm going to review both of them, my procedure is. But before we start them, something that came up in the chat, and I have a great link that I will make sure is in the show notes, and I'm going to try to find a permanent place for this link on the website. It's how to get into the IRC chat for the live show. The web client is so bad for Ustream. It's horrible. I haven't used the web client for over a decade. I mean, it's just terrible. If you want a really nice experience while you're in the chat for the Mike Tech Show, the instructions on how to set up an IRC client to connect and log into Ustream, we have online instructions step by step with nice pictures. And I want to thank the chat earlier for providing that for me and finding it. There's instructions on how to do it with a Mac using Colloquy and also Windows MIRC, which I love MIRC, but you can take the same settings and use your favorite IRC chat if you have another one. Very important. Going to make sure it's in the show notes. Thank you, everybody. And we want to make the experience nice when you're connecting live for the chat. And it's going to be so much better to just use any client other than the web client. Let me start out by reading the email from Jeremy. I love your podcast and all that you do for the tech community. I'm seeking some advice. I have been working for IT VARs, resellers, and consulting firms since my first day in IT back in 1995. I have worked hard progressing from bench tech, field tech, system engineer, and now a solutions architect. I primarily work in state and local government vertical with emphasis on SANs, that's storage area networks, VMware products, large dispersed Active Directory and DNS setups, and my area of expertise is with Microsoft Exchange Server migrations. Tens of thousands of mailboxes scaled out. That said, I'm thinking about becoming an independent consultant, marketing my skills to other small IT business owners who might bring me in as needed for Exchange migrations, SAN, and other virtualization product projects, etc. What are your thoughts? Because I really value your opinion and know you have been in this field much longer as I have. Keep up the great shows, Jeremy. Jeremy, this show is for you. Couple things. I tried to put this in an order that's going to help. And this is for anybody, not just someone who's going to be an IT business owner, But if you're already in business, there might be some things here that you might want to implement or you might want to do. Things you haven't thought of. Things that you may be able to increase your business. If you're consulting, wherever you are, this can apply to lots of things for setting up your business, expanding your business, improving your current business. So let's begin with you need an EIN number, and it's free. You go to irs.gov, and you get an employer identification number. You need this. You need this for your tax returns. You need this anytime you're going to resell something. It just makes it easier. Don't start out using your Social Security number. When you're going to open your business bank account, you're going to use your EIN. Begin with getting an EIN. And I don't care if you're working for someone else right now and you're just thinking about doing this down the road, get an EIN number. It's free. Decide what you want to do. You have some excellent skills that you've listed that are going to become important as you market and go for picking up clients. And I have some great ideas for that. But you got to decide, are you going to be in computer repair? That doesn't sound like it. The exchange migrations, that's awesome. That's a skill set. Very, very important as everybody migrates away from the physical local server to cloud-based exchange services. You're going to need experience with either ShareWeb, AppRiver, or Office 365. There's different reasons for maybe using either or all of them. Are you going to support small businesses or enterprise? I think you should focus on helping some big enterprise accounts by looking at other consulting firms where you can get your feet wet by being a subcontractor and start making the business contacts and getting your name out there and start doing projects for other consulting firms. I've done that and still do occasionally, where I'm brought in as a subcontractor because of my large corporate experience and background. Consulting firms sometimes get in over their head with certain deployments and certain migrations. So you want to get your name out there for different consulting firms. Once you focus, are you going to do small businesses, which you mentioned? That's not difficult, but it's different than what you are exposed to because everything's so much smaller. I'll never forget going from my massive server environments that I managed going to a single server that was small business server. Way back. I remember my first experience with small business server 2003, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Why are they stepping us through step by step to create everything? I want to do everything on my own. This is crazy. I had to learn how to conform to small business server. You will have to adapt and kind of downgrade your approach and solutions to fit small businesses. That was my biggest challenge coming from the big corporate world to supporting small businesses, which is my bread and butter right now. Leverage your corporate training to work with some of the consulting firms where you're just going to be a 1099. You are very attractive to other consulting firms because your background and the fact that they don't have to pay you benefits, you will work like you're working for them, but you're still on your own. You're your own man. You're your own boss. Yes, you got to report up to someone else. It's how I got my job, my big consulting job way back with the Franklin Institute. I was sold by another consultant because he had the main contact for the foot in the door for the Franklin Institute, where I redesigned the network infrastructure, revamped the whole networking team, hired a new IT director. I was involved in all facets of the back end and IT support, redocumented, redid everything. I would have never had that opportunity had someone not introduced me to another consulting company that sold me in there. Now, I billed through that other company. They just added literally an extra like $10 an hour or whatever it is. They weren't greedy. And I made what I wanted to make. It was excellent for me at the time, where I was just starting out on my own business. That came at the perfect time when I left the corporate world. So I'm mentioning that and my example because I was you 9 years ago, Jeremy, and you want to leverage all of those contacts. You want to put together your curricula vitae. Very, very important. Or curriculum vitae, I should say. This is where it's like a resume. It puts together your experience, your background. It's like an introduction, like you would be given to an employer. You need that and put that in a nice PDF form that you can get out there. You also want to start when you make the move and you're on your own, you need to start contacting anybody in the business field, letting them know what you're doing and that you are now available. When I started my company and left the corporate world at the end in 2008, I looked at my contacts, looked at all my business cards, and I sat and wrote nice little emails to everybody individually stating, hey, if you hear of any work, I'm now on my own, blah, blah, blah. Get a nice little text together. Get it out there. You won't believe how much work I got by doing that. A couple financial advisors who I helped on the side before said, you're available during the day now? That's awesome. I'll never forget. I sent one out on a Thursday and they said, can you come out Monday morning? And I had work Monday morning. I had work from another consulting firm that, knowing that I was available, had a project that they were internally overwhelmed. They were so busy with clients, they had a problem with their own servers in organizing and getting a reliable backup solution. I worked on that for them. So all of a sudden, these little jobs started coming in, and then the big opportunity with the Franklin Institute just put it over the top, and it was great. Use Indeed.com. Indeed.com is the ultimate place for looking for a job. Well, look for contract work. Do not be afraid to explore temp agencies. This is where you can get a pool of local consulting firms that may be posting up temporary positions that they need. Go ahead, do it. You're billing by the hour. You're going to bill on your own. You're still your own company. Get as many clients as you can because you want to build up your curriculum vitae. You want to build up your experience and start being able to list these companies that you've done work for. It looks very impressive when I got to put on my resume or my listing to put names like the Franklin Institute, Allstate, RE/MAX, Ameriprise. These were some of the names of some of my early consulting jobs. Some I still have. Once you build them up and start putting that down, that looks really impressive. And don't be afraid to put the descriptions of all that you've done with your government work, and especially those migrations. I'll never forget, while I was still working in the corporate world, a consulting company contracted me out. There was no conflict of interest, and I got permission to do this, where at nights and weekends, I deployed a complete exchange migration to the Philadelphia Library. That was a big system. This was years and years ago. Because of my exchange experience and my exchange background, I'll never forget this little consulting firm that was selling this to the city brought me in where they have never done migrations like that, but I have. And they got to leverage my experience as they were selling to get that opportunity. And I sort of closed the deal because of my experience. You have such great exchange experience that's how you can use that on your behalf to sell your skill set, and then you start to make a name for yourself in the industry and a reputation that you can then use as references. And this is how you're going to build. And then don't lock in. I asked a question up front. What are your interests in? If you had asked me when I started my consulting business, I would have said, I'm going to be computer repair, some general consulting, and break fix. I thought all the business was just going to come my way and I wouldn't have to do anything. That was not the case. There's no way I could make a living waiting for problems to occur, like we call break fix. I had to find out where I can get a constant revenue stream, and it was with retainer clients, small businesses that need regular IT support, but they can't afford a full-time body, and they need some touches for their logs being monitored on servers, their backups being monitored, regular maintenance on their workstations. Well, that's a contract, sort of like a service contract, only I call it a retainer contract, where it helps them spread out their IT costs. This is another way of helping supplement a revenue stream. Once you start getting some of these clients, well, they're going to need regular maintenance. It's a way to get some business. There's something else, and this, it works for some people, not everybody. It happens to work for me. And you've heard me mention BNI, Business Networking International. It's a networking referral organization. I have drank the Kool-Aid because it has built my business out when, right when the Franklin Institute gig was finishing up, I needed an influx of more jobs and more business on a regular basis. Joining that organization and being the IT support, the sole IT person in the group for being referral from like-minded 39 other business owners, it's like having 39 salesmen that I'm not paying commission on. We recommend each other. That is how I've built my current consulting business. It was the right thing at the right time. I got it. I like it. I put the work in to make it successful. It's not easy. Any organization, you got to put in the time and work. I have to meet every Thursday at lunch. That's when we meet. I have to have one-on-ones with everybody outside of the meeting. It just doesn't happen. The work is not going to come into you and fall into your lap like magic. You may get lucky. An occasional job here and there just falls in. But I believe you make your own luck. And the harder you work, the more luck you're going to have and the more things are going to happen. You got to put yourself in a position to be able to get more business. And so you need to be involved in networking organizations because that's a way that you will get business. And it's how I've gotten a lot of business. We've reached out to business contacts. You've searched Indeed.com. You look for local networking organizations like a BNI in your area. You obtain extra consulting work with all of these contacts, and it's just going to build out as you start to grow your business. Now, there's an area that I'm weak on that I'm starting to embrace more, and this is social media. Make sure, first, decide on a company name. Make sure you can get the appropriate domain name at GoDaddy. Then you're going to want to put an email behind that. I recommend Exchange hosted email. You can get a single account on ShareWeb for $7.50 a month, pennies. Get a reliable email with the domain. With hosting, you got Squarespace, you got Wix. You could put a little website together, or my recommendation is have TechSite Builder. Go to TechSiteBuilder.com and get your website professionally set up and hosted. Get your business, the Computer Business Kit version 3. Notice you're hearing affiliates that I talk about at the end of every show. I use this. This is how I have made my business successful. So once you have your web presence, a good email, you got all the forms and the missing links for what you need for your business with the Computer Business Kit. Now you can attack social media because you have an email to reference. You have a website to send people back to. Now, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. Facebook's important because there are local business groups, local neighborhoods that have their own groups. You want to join as many of those groups that are open that you can. You will find business. I've done it, and I thought, I'll never find business via social media. Well, boy, this year, I take that back. I was wrong. I've actually gotten some business. I have not embraced LinkedIn enough. I have to start that because that's a business social media. You want to start joining groups. Start posting to it. Get a following. This is how you now market your skills, market your business to keep it going. Before you get your business cards, there's a crucial thing, phone number. Go to Google Voice, set it up, have a phone number because you can forward it anywhere. Don't give your home phone number yet. Don't give your cell number. You can control Google Voice to forward where you want it. Set up there. Now you're ready for your business cards. You have your email, you have your website, you have your phone number. Do a basic logo, get business cards. You could do Vistaprint. You could do so many. You can just walk into a Staples. Very easy to get business cards. Inexpensive. Very important. Once you got your EIN number, you absolutely need a business bank account. Get the business bank account and get a debit card. Here's why this is important. For your taxes. And I don't care whether you're a sole proprietor, an LLC, have a separate banking for your business. So it's easy to do the taxes. You use that debit card for every single purchase. Everything that you do, put it on that debit card. Now you have one download from your bank where you can easily put that into Excel and separate and categorize all of your charges, all of your expenses. Anything relating to the business, you pull out that business card. Trust me, when it comes time for the end of the year, you will be very happy when you have to sit down and do your taxes. Credit cards. There's lots of services that you don't have to pay a fee until you use it. And then they take their pound of flesh. PayPal, set up a business account. Two credit card companies, Square and Stripe. Both of them, you can have apps. They're free to use, but they're going to charge you a fee when you use it. Better to be set up and have it when you need it. There was a customer that I knew. He told me. He said, if you leave your invoice and it's up to me to write the check, I forget all the time. But if you can take credit cards, I'll give you a credit card right now. He said, done. Give me that credit card. $1,500 invoice. I said, let me, credit card. I'll eat some fees or consider building it into your rate. So this way you don't have to worry. It'll be a bonus if someone writes you a check, but you'll use that 3.5% or 4%, whatever they're going to charge you. At least it won't kill you, but you're going to get paid. Speaking of invoices, use the Word default template invoice. There's no problem with that. Create an inexpensive directory structure if it's free on your system where you have clients, have each client name, and then in there put their invoice. Their invoice, I use the initials and then the date backwards where it's year, month, day. Now I can sort them and it's very easy for me to separate years for invoices. Get a simple process. Don't buy any expensive software yet because you're just starting out. Couple little things as I wrap this topic up. Business insurance. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. You need it if someone asks, do you have it? That's when you need it. I didn't have my business insurance until I ran into, and I now have four clients that absolutely require it. They have to get, every year, they get sent from my insurance carrier, my proof of business insurance. I ran into a facility that I could not step foot in the door because there's multiple companies there. The property manager needed possession of a copy of my insurance certificate to prove that I had business insurance or I wasn't even allowed in the building. to do work. I could meet with a client, but I wasn't allowed to perform any work. When you're in that situation, guess what? You have to get business insurance. So you're going to have to talk to an insurance provider and get the right one that's for you. Don't worry about that thing now. You have to get that EIN number. You have to get the business bank account. You have to get the debit card. And then you need a domain name. You need email. You need a website and your business cards. And you're ready to roll. So that's the technical aspect of the things you need when you have your business. And I did very, very basic overview of everything that I think might help get you started. Or if you already have a business, maybe I've shared some things that you're not doing or you could do that can help you out. So Jeremy, I kind of timed that right. I thought it was going to be about a half hour to answer your question. Pretty accurate. Now the second and final question for the rest of the show. Clean install of Windows 7. Hi, Mike. I made this for you and your show. You may wish to use it, edit it, or send me any changes you would like to make. Hope this helps you or someone that may need it. This is from Jets PC, who's not in the chat tonight, but normally is. Jets, I put my list together for Windows 7. First, you obviously make sure you've backed up all of your data and you use Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro, the perfect, perfect program. Make sure you get everything off. Make sure you get the data. Run a report like SIW to get all of the licensing number. Check, are there any applications that you need to deactivate? Great example, Shadow Protect, you need to deactivate it. Malwarebytes, you need to deactivate your premium version. Make a list of all the applications and then deactivate the ones. Wipe the system. And I do the wipe by booting with a USB of the operating system that I'm going to install, whether it's Windows 7 or Windows 10. You delete the partitions, create a new partition from scratch. Once the operating system is installed, on the first boot, Windows 7 doesn't give you any real big questions. Windows 10, on the other hand, has lots of security screens that you pick custom. And on the initial install of Windows 10, I want you to check the radio button to know on every single option, every single screen, you will pick no. You get to the point where you got to create an account. If it's a system for a client, then you're creating their account. Create the account. If it's Windows 10, create a local account. Don't tie it to a Microsoft account just yet, unless you want it then. And there are reasons for wanting to do that. Create a local account. Make them administrator if it asks, especially in Windows 7. Windows 7, it's going to default. And even Windows 10, that first account is going to be the administrator for access. I check device manager for drivers. Do I need drivers or not? If I'm lucky enough where it's a Dell or HP or something to where I was able to check online and maybe download the drivers, or if we're just redoing the same operating system, go back and add the initial step, copy the drivers. Unless you're going from an older operating system to a newer, drivers aren't going to help you on the old one. If you don't have drivers, I use drivermax.com. It works. I've used it so many times. You've heard me talk about it. Then we had a debate whether it was good or bad. It is absolutely good. It has saved my butt on many, many occasions. And that hard-to-find driver, it has found it. I have been very, very happy. I have had 100% success rate with Driver Max. Make sure I have all the drivers. My first opportunity, when that's settled down and the drivers are done, I go to 99.com and I pick all of my options, all of my free programs and updates that I want. 99.com is just a godsend when you're redoing and doing a new system. Pick all the things you want. I pick Firefox, Chrome, I pick 7-Zip, Evernote. I want What else am I looking for? Malware Bytes I usually put on. Even if it's just a trial version, that's fine. If it's Windows 7, I pick Microsoft Security Essentials. If it's Windows 10, that's installed by default, called Windows Defender. So now we got Nynite. Windows tweaks. I have my own personal list of Windows tweaks. I go into the power settings, and I change to the power options that I want for maximum performance. I then tweak all network adapters and uncheck boxes that could possibly put the network adapter into a sleep mode. I go to folder options, and I want to view extensions. So I make sure, show hidden files, make sure you can view all extensions. This is a nice little list of tweaks that my son and I do anytime we're deploying, redoing a new system. Now, it's update time. If it's Windows 10, piece of cake. Just go to Windows Updates. Just go to the settings, updates, let it run. Usually no problem. If it's Windows 7, on the other hand, you're going to have issues. So I still do the following, and it works. I have 8 critical updates that have to be applied. I apply those 8 updates. After it's done, then I use WSUS offline and keep running it until there's no more. Then I let it try to do the updates itself. Windows 7 updates is a real pain. It's horrible. It's one of my reasons that on a clean install, I would much rather do Windows 10 than Windows 7. I will talk the client into Windows 10 if I can, because it's the upgrade going from Windows 7 to Windows 10 that I don't like. But the clean install of Windows 10, now with your media that is with that includes the anniversary update, it's a piece of cake. I can install Windows 10 in under 15 minutes, going from a USB 2 to a solid state drive. Under 15 minutes, piece of cake. Windows 7 is hours and hours, and it's painful hours of updates, as all of you know. There's no clean solution. We have the 8 critical updates and then WSUS offline. Once that's done, now you can activate Windows, have your key ready, activate Windows, make sure everything's fine. You can begin installing your applications and setting them up, and that's based on whatever list you had. You can use FABS auto backup after your applications are done, and now marry the data that you backed up back to the new system. That is my clean install process. And I quoted the differences between Windows 7 and Windows 10, and it really comes down to Windows 10. You have all those security options that I want you to say no to in the beginning. And then the Windows 10, the updates are significantly easier. And I'll tell you this, drivers are much easier. Even on older systems that I've put Windows 10, I've been very successful. It's very rare that Windows 10 doesn't automatically install the drivers. Now, I have pretty conservative systems. These are not homegrown systems. These are business class Dell predominantly. So the drivers are pretty basic, pretty easy. If you have a custom built system that you're redoing, like the one I have, the one that Carrie built for me, well, that may require a little more care and feeding for the driver scenario. So I understand that. Make sure you have good backups of everything before you embark upon any changes to your system. Make sure you got good backups. If you purchase anything from Amazon or know anybody that purchases from Amazon, use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small percentage comes back to help support the show. I really appreciate it. I want to thank everybody so much for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate all of your support. That's it. I'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.